Welcome to the Cryptid Corner, the podcast where we discuss some of your favorite tales, cryptids, monsters, and more, and exactly how they came to be what we know them as today. This week at the Cryptid Corner, once again, we're going to be discussing a bit more of like a legend or like a folklore type of thing as opposed to a creature, and it's just gonna become part of the regular mix here at the Cryptic Corner, because that, you know, as the intro says, you know, it's legends, lores, monsters, creatures, all sorts of stuff, anything obscure really. And this one in particular is gonna be something that we've all had some sort of encounter with, I'm sure, at some point in our lives. And today we're gonna be discussing wishing wells. So, like, whether it be in a mall, in the park, or your neighbor's front yard, we see wishing wells in lots of places, and we all know what they're supposed to do. Like, you drop a coin in, and you make a wish, and it's said to come true, you know, but how did the custom start, and what was the original meaning of it? Like, did our ancestors truly believe that they had to pay for their wishes to come true, and what is the significance of it all? Like the well and the water, but we can, you know, no pun intended, dive deep on the folklore of the wishing wells. And so where we can start with is wishing wells and their association with sacred waters. And since water is the key to life, finding sources of fresh water was important to our ancestors. Like, occasionally fresh water sprang from unexpected places, like from underground springs or rivers. For many cultures, particularly ancient European cultures, underground springs were viewed as like special sacred waters that were given to mankind as a gift from the gods. To thank the gods for their gift, they would drop small tokens of their appreciation at the spring. Later coins were used in place of like small tokens or whatever they used at the time for their tributes to the gods for giving them the clean water. And that leads me to the next thing regarding wishing wells, and that would be clean water. So, like, clean potable drinking water was and still is in lots of places a concern. Anthropologists will tell you that settlements and towns were established near sources of clean drinking water. That makes sense, and it was to, you know, just so that way you could have a clean source of water established where you were going to start housing people, and, you know, that's just kind of common sense. To protect the water and to keep it safe from like contaminants, the people often built structures such as wells or well houses, and these structures began to be a gathering place for people of the town. Even if the water source was large, like a river or harbor, forts and castles were constructed to protect it. Oftentimes, it was thought that the spirits or gods lorded over the water sources and kept them clean for people to drink from. And, you know, kind of going in the subject of gods and stuff like that, the main thing that people think about when you hear about gods is like a plural thing, and far be it from the only one, but is Rome and Greece. So there's wishing wells associated with ancient Rome as well. Like, wishing wells seem to be a very old tradition that was prevalent across, you know, much of Europe. One of our earliest written references to wishing wells came from the 2nd century in the works of Pliny the Younger. He described several individual springs that covered, springs that the coverage covered. I typed that wrong in my notes. Springs that they covered into like a small body of water, into a still body of water. Excuse me, my notes were kind of messed up there. He wrote, "There the water clear as glass allows you to see gleaming pebbles on the bottom and the coins and that people have thrown in." And that was, you know, once again, tokens for the gods at that point in time. We'll talk some more about wishing wells and wells of different peoples across Europe when we come back from this break. Welcome back to the Cryptic Corner. So we're going to go to like the Germanic people, like the Germanic tribes of Europe that believed that the spirits lived in the waters and actually created the water. The spirits like to intervene in the lives of humans living near them. If a person spoke aloud a wish or hope while standing over the water, the spirits might take pity on them and grant their wish. A person could sweeten the deal by dropping a small coin or another valuable token into the wells in hopes that the spirits would be pleased with them. Kind of going along with everything that we've been saying thus far about why we dropped these tokens in the water, the Celts or the Celtic people, the idea of appeasing the spirits by tossing tokens into a well was especially common. The Celtic goddess Coventina, Coventina, who ruled over, like healing and childbirth, had a famous well attributed to her in Northumberland. The people built a small temple in to Coventina around the source of the spring water. Archaeologists have discovered small token gifts to Coventina, I hope I'm saying that correctly, including coins, glass, pottery items, buttons, and beads dating as far back to 407 CE. And just as many of these other cultures were included with wishing wells, one popular Norse legend revolves around a water deity named Mimir. According to the stories, Mimir lived in the Well of Wisdom and guarded the sacred waters. He drank from the well every day, making him the wisest being in all the land. The Norse god Odin, desperate to save the world from destruction, sought a sip from the Well of Wisdom that Mimir lived in. Mimir, however, demanded payment from Odin before he could drink. The price Mimir demanded was high. He asked for Odin's right eye. Odin eventually agreed to pay the price, and his eye was thrown into the well so others could see that the price must be paid in order to seek wisdom from the well. I find that to be probably one of the most largest staples that people would kind of think of wishing wells for once they learn it. Anyway, I mean, as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh wow, I never really tied that occurrence in the Greek mythology, or the Norse mythology, to wishing wells. But I mean, essentially that's what it was. And oddly enough, there's a tie to wishing wells associated with the Holy Grail as well. The Chalice Well, or the Red Well, which is located in Somerset, England. Iron oxide gives the water a red color that the ancient Brits associated with human blood. According to local legends, the well was the place where Joseph hid the Holy Grail, the chalice that was used to catch Jesus' blood at the time of his crucifixion. And just ironically enough, this episode's releasing on Easter, I believe. This legend was used to explain the red color of the water. Since then, people have paid their respects by leaving offerings at the well. So that's just it's similar to a wishing well, but there are some ties there, no matter how vague or loose they may be. One thing I can say, though, is that the wishing wells for modern times, such as in shopping malls, aforementioned, is good for business. Since tossing a coin into a wishing well or a fountain in exchange for a guaranteed wish is such a widespread custom, it is it's become huge as far as being profitable. Take Rome's Trevi Fountain, for example. More than 3,000 coins are tossed into the famed fountain each day. That could add up to about $1.5 million per year, just from the amount of money that's tossed into this the Trevi Fountain in Rome. The city of Rome uses the money, though, to fund programs for needy people in the community, so it's not like it's just greed. But I'm sure there are people that just benefit from the profits that can be made from wishing wells, such as in shopping malls and stuff like that. But it's always good to hear and that in Rome the Trevi Fountain is used to help those in need, and that's $1.5 million per year. I don't know what the currency exchange rate is, or how much that turns out to be in their currency, but that's always good to hear. But in regards to wishing wells, that's all we're gonna have today at the Cryptic Corner. You can always find me on social media using the handle at the Cryptic Corner. As of now, I only have a Facebook. It's just easier for me to maintain that way. I'm one person running the entire podcast, so it's just, and beside that, no pity story or anything, but I do work a regular 9-to-5. Most times that's 6 days a week, so I just find time in there whenever I can. And I know here lately I've been kind of spotty, and my apologies. I plan on getting better about releasing these things on time and everything. And speaking of getting better, I know I've been promising new merch for weeks, and I am very excited to say that by the release of next week's episode, there will be new merch in the store. I'm actually going to go through the processes of changing some of the the icons, banners on the social media pages as well, and at the shop. So if you're interested in buying any merch, any current merch, or you're going to be looking for the new merch that's coming soon, very soon, and when it does release, I'll announce it not only in the next episode, but as well as like as a post, you know, so that you can look for that. If you're not following the Crypto Corner already on Facebook, please do. Once again, you can find that page using the handle at the Crypto Corner. So the merch you can find at crypticmerch.com. If you're looking to reach out to me with any sort of corrections, which, you know, please do, because this stuff I educate myself on, you know, just on the internet. So I'm sure there's some misinformation I'm bound to stumble across and present to you guys. So if anybody has any corrections or any accurate information that needs to be, you know, corrected, you can always contact me through a DM on the Facebook, or you can reach out to me using my email address, which is kcrypticcryptic@gmail.com. That's Casey as in Casey. Or if you just want to reach out with an experience that you've had, or you want to be a guest on the show in the future, always reach out to me, and maybe I can just share your experience on the air, or you could even be a guest in an episode and talk about something that really interests you as far as, you know, the obscurities, creatures, legends, myths, any of that, you know. That's all we're going to have today, guys. But more importantly, stay creepy.